Our lesson today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, the parable of the sower. We find that Jesus, that same day, went by the seaside and sat, and great multitudes followed him. But Jesus was accustomed to speak the word in various places. He had no need of a temple or a synagogue, but we find him speaking on the mountain, in a field. Here he is at the seaside. And where the multitude crowded so around him, he went aboard a ship and sat on the ship, and the people were upon the shore. What a beautiful scenery we have before our eyes. Jesus sitting in a ship and multitudes of people gathered on the shore to listen to the gracious words that fell from his lips. Jesus spake many times to multitudes. They followed him because he performed so many miracles, and also he spake as no other man spake before. And he spake many times in parables to the people. A parable is a similitude of a story, a short story, to give us an understanding of some important truth. Sometimes it's a dark saying, figuratively spoken, and no expression or meaning is given of it. Many times the prophets of old used parables to speak unto their princes and unto their people. We find that Nathan used the parable to reprove David for the sin that he had committed. He used the parable of a poor man who had a lamb and of a rich man who did not want to take his own lamb but took the poor man's lamb, so that this poor man was deprived of the lamb that was as a nursing daughter to him. In this manner, Nathan spake unto David, and David was reproved by this parable. We find likewise that Joab hired a woman of Tekoa to speak unto David concerning Absalom, his son. Absalom, he had murdered his brother and had fled away unto Geshur, and had been there a number of years. And now Joab hired this woman and put the words in her mouth concerning that she likewise had two sons, and the one arose against the other and smote him and killed him. And now they were going to take this only son who was the murderer and cut his life off. In this manner she spake unto King David concerning his feeling that he had for Absalom, his son. The Lord Jesus Christ, he used many parables. I was looking at the beginning of the Bible, which gives us a register of how many parables are to be found in the Gospels. And there are in the neighborhood of somewheres around 30-some parables. This parable then, the sower, Jesus began to speak unto these people. A sower went forth to sow. He brings before them something that they were very familiar with, for they were people that had farms and had vineyards and were accustomed to sow seed. Therefore, he speaks to them in this parable form. A sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Now, this is familiar probably to each and every one of us. How many of us have not sowed seed? And we find as we sow it that much of it falls, not in the place where we intended it to fall, but it falls alongside of the place that we wanted the seed to fall in. In these farms, vineyards that the Hebrews had, there were pathways. These are called the wayside. And you will take particular notice as we go through this parable that this seed fell upon the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and picked the seeds up and ate them. So familiar to us likewise, if you ever have sowed a garden, sowed seed, and you have left it, immediately you find birds there. And they are instantly picking up the seed that is lying upon the top of the ground. Many farmers, they put what we call scarecrows in their farms. They put images of men, hats and coats, to scare the fowls of the air away so that they will not pick up the precious seed. Jesus goes forth to speak about the seed falling likewise upon stony ground. And it soon sprang up, but where it had no deepness of root, it soon withered away. The sun came up and scorched it. The farmer that was sowing the seed could not see what was underneath the ground. He had plowed it and turned it upside down, but more or less the stones remained underneath. And where this seed had no opportunity to find root, where it was on the top of a stone, it immediately grew up. It lacked moisture, and therefore when the sun rose up upon it, why, it soon withered away and died. Jesus goes forth speaking about the seed falling amongst the thorns. This seed also sprang up, but the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Thorns, we are familiar with, are on rose bushes, on barberry bushes, and we find them likewise even called thorn bushes. These thorns, they grow on farms likewise, and they shed seed, and the seed falls into the ground. This good seed then fell amongst them, and soon the thorns grew up, and it choked the good seed so that it could not bear forth any fruit. Then Jesus goes on to speak about the seed that fell upon the good ground. And this fell into the ground, and it bore fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Christ then is speaking to the multitude of people in this form of a parable. We find that the disciples, they came unto him and asked him to explain the meaning of this parable. It appears very plain and clear while we are listening to the historical meaning of it. Probably many of my hearers understand this parable, but if you are a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will say, like they did, "I do not understand it." You will go to the Master who gave unto them an interpretation and an explanation of this parable. Before coming to this place, I, as a teacher, have been looking up to that great sower, that he would sow the seed in my soul, that I would be enabled likewise to sow the seed amongst you, my hearers. How necessary then, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to appeal unto the Master to interpret his own parable thus. We find in the 18th verse that Jesus gives an explanation of this parable. He commences to speak about the seed falling by the wayside, and that the fowls of the air devoured it up. This he describes as people that come to listen to the word of God. The seed then is the word of the kingdom. This word is the gospel. It is an incorruptible seed. It is the word of the living God, whereby a person is born again and raised up unto newness of life. This seed is sown by a sower. The sower is our Lord Jesus Christ, who scatters the seed abroad. He likewise has ministers and pastors and evangelists who likewise sow the seed under him. This seed falls by the wayside in the first part of this parable. By this description of the wayside, we may understand hearers that come unto the truth. They are worldly, they are carnal, they come probably out of curiosity, they come because it is a custom, they sit under the word, and they understand not what they are hearing. While they are under the word of truth, the wicked one, pictured in this parable as the bird of the air, he comes and he picks up the seed that is being sown into the mind and into the heart of those that are on the wayside. He uses various methods amongst the hearers to keep them from understanding the truth and receiving it in good ground. And many of the hearers, they sleep. Others, they are prejudiced. Others, they despise the plain teaching of the Word of God. Many, they receive the Word, but while they are receiving it, their minds are busy with their employment. They are laboring more in the house of God under the hearing of the Word than they are when they are at their place of employment. Others are busy with the people that are sitting round about them. Others are entering into vain conversation many times, even in church, while the word is being sown. The devil uses all sorts of methods to keep the hearers of the word from hearing the truth as it is in Jesus. And he has a multitude on his side. They are these that we call heedless hearers. They are assisting the devil in this respect because he does not want the gospel to progress. He does not want people to be born again and to receive eternal life. Therefore, he is very busy. He is busy amongst all the congregations wherever the word is being sown in its purity. He is at the present time amongst us, my hearers. He will in every possible way divert your attention from listening to the truth. Now we find that Jesus speaks about those that receive the word upon stony ground. They receive the word with joy, it says. And they immediately are affected by the word. They have feelings, they have affections, and they receive this word to a certain extent in their understandings. And these people who are called stony ground hearers are people that may even make a profession of the truth. They may become members of a congregation. They have a good intellect. They understand the scriptures far better sometimes than a child of God. They become very fluent. They even may become preachers and sowers of the seed. These creatures spoken of receive the word with joy. But Christ goes on to teach that when the sun goes up, they soon are scorched and withered. In his explanation, he speaks about when persecution arises concerning the word, they fall away. They do not abide. These stony ground hearers are creatures that come very close to those who have received the word in good ground. They are what we call temporary believers. There are many that receive the word with joy. They immediately appropriate the comforts of the gospel to themselves, but they have no root in themselves. They have no convictions of sin, of their total depravity, of their need of a Savior. They have no light to discern that they are ruined and undone in themselves. This receiving the word in their mind, in their affections, has not entered into their hearts. They are then people who we read of in Scripture. We read of Balaam. We read likewise of Judas. We read of Demas. We read of Saul. These persons, outwardly, they gave some signs that the work of God was in them. But we find that they fell away. When you read Hebrews, the 6th chapter, we read there of characters which makes us tremble at times. They have tasted of the heavenly life. They have received the Holy Spirit, and they have tasted of the good word of God. Paul speaks of them that when they fall away, it's an impossibility to renew them to repentance, seeing that they trample under feet the blood of the Son of God. Have you ever read that, my hearers? Have you ever been troubled concerning it? Has it ever entered into your mind that probably you were such a character? Have you ever thought that you was a Demas, a Judas, or like Saul, who prophesied and had the Holy Spirit on him? These things, my hearers, they enter into the minds and into the hearts of the people of God. They are troubled many times because temporary believers come so close to true believers. They have a temporary faith, and they outshine many a child of God, but they are without the root of the matter within them. Those that read these things and are troubled and tremble before God and beg God that he would witness in their hearts that they are not just a temporary believer, but that the good work is in their souls, they give good signs that they are not such characters, my hearers. Let me ask you, soul amongst me, what is your trouble? Are you not looking for a witness of the Spirit of God? Are you not troubled at times whether the work is God's or not? I'm sure you are. And what makes it true within but a witness of the Spirit? And what makes you think that you are only a temporary believer, a stony ground hearer? Oh, I know. You received the word with joy at one time. You come up to the house of God, and oh, it was such a wonderful time for you. Your heart was open, your ears were open, you could not get enough of the word of God. You wished that it was church every day. Oh, what a blessed time that was. A never to be forgotten time for whoever experienced it. But as time went on, these things wore away. And when you read now these characters, you're so lifeless, you're so unexercised under the truth, you think probably I was one of those stony ground hearers. I was only a temporary believer just for a time. And probably you think now that you've fallen away because you are so lifeless, so dead, so unexercised. Is that your trouble? It's mine. But let the Spirit of God blow upon the garden of your heart. Let him bring one sentence of that divine word, that seed that enters into the soul. Let him bring that home. What a change takes place. Oh, may I comfort you by the mouth of God that you are not such a character as you read of in Hebrews 6 and 10. And neither are you a Demas or a Saul or a Judas. You have good signs showing that you have the root of the matter in you. Now we read again of those where the seed fell amongst thorns. Christ gives us an explanation that these people are filled with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, and these choke the word. Here we have people that receive the word. They have it in their mind to become a Christian. They see something of the beauty thereof, the necessity thereof. They are serious at times, but they also see the need of becoming someone in this world. They want to serve two masters. They want to serve Christ and they want to serve the world. On the one side, Christ beckons. On the other side, the world. The riches of the world, to become someone in the world, to have a position in the world, to gain enough money so that in time, when we come into circumstances with our families, that we would have something to provide for them. And many are deluded in this way, my hearers. Many think that if they can go forward in the world, get ahead in the world, and gain the riches of the world, that they can do a lot of good with the riches that they intend to gain. But in the end, they find that they have deceived and deluded themselves. We cannot serve two masters. And now by pursuing the things of the world, trying to get rich, trying to get ahead, religion is laid on one side. It's choked. These cares crowd into the soul and choke the word, where it becomes unfruitful. How many of such characters have I amongst my hearers? All my hearers, this may go on even to the end of your life. You may deceive others, and you may deceive yourself, but you cannot deceive God. You may give an outward show, and even others may think well of you, but God, who knows the heart and knows what's going on within, he knows whether the root of the matter is in you or not. Many, my hearers, lose their souls in this way. We next have Christ speaking about the seed falling upon good ground and bringing forth 160 and 30-fold fruit. This seed falling into good ground. You will notice that in the three others, it fell by the wayside, it fell on stony ground, and it fell amongst the thorns. But the good seed fell into good ground. Now, what made that ground good? If you were to ask a farmer before he was going to plant a field, what would you do so that you could make this field yield fruit? The first thing that he would tell you was, I will have to put the plow into this field. I will have to uproot the ground. And after I have uprooted the ground, I will have to gather all the thorns and all the thistles that is in the ground on the top together and burn it. And then I'll have to manure that ground, fertilize it very good to make it bear fruit. You see what a farmer has to do to make the ground good? God does the same thing, my hearers. Let me tell you that he must uproot you. And if you are never uprooted, if you are never turned upside down inwardly, there's no ground there. The Spirit of God comes down, my hearers, into a person's soul. And that Spirit takes the law. And the law is like a plow. It enters into a person's heart. And that law convicts of sin. It shows that person in the mirror of the law what it has done. Now that already is good seed entering into that ground, uprooting it, preparing it so that it will bear fruit. And now you notice that the word enters into the heart. And when that enters in, my hearers, down goes the sinner. The temporary believer, he goes up. He wants to be someone. He wants to have people think something of him. But where the work is of God and the seed enters into the heart, that person is brought down in true humility. He's brought down in repentance. He's brought down before God in uprightness of heart to confess what he sees of himself in the mirror of the law. All my hearers, we find then the first fruit is humility, is repentance, is a sinner going alone upon his knees, getting before God and confessing his sins in uprightness to him. Has the word ever taken effect by you in this respect, my hearers? Has this good seed, which you have been listening to for years and years, has it ever entered into your heart? Has it ever come down and brought you down before God in truth and in uprightness? To confess your sins, to forsake them, to see the bitter evil of sin, to see yourselves in the sight of a great and a holy and a just God, that he would be righteous if he cut you off and cast you away? Oh, how few, few receive the seed in this way. Oh, how many, as we see in this parable, there was only one kind that was good, the other three were bad. Four types of hearers under the truth, and only one that was good. And God alone can come down into our hearts and make them fruitful. He only, with his Holy Spirit, can lay us in the dust. And when we come down into the dust of self-abasement and of true humility, then there arises this fruit, faith. We believe what the Word of God speaks of us in the first place. We believe what it speaks about God himself. We believe what it speaks about Jesus Christ. Oh, what a precious fruit is faith, my hearers. Not just a head faith, not just a mouth faith, but a faith that is in the heart, a true faith. All true faith always humbles a person in the dust. Oh, what a precious grace is this faith that God gives unto his elect. and to them only. All the calling, the sowing the seed goes out, but it's only effectual in very few hearts. Very few do we see amongst our hearers that have been called with an eternal call, called inwardly, where the gospel has taken root and taken effect, and where this seed falls down into this good ground, my hearers, we find also the precious fruit of hope arising in a sinner's soul. Oh, what a precious grace is hope. You know, when you're in a hopeless condition, when you see nothing else but your sins and your guilt before you and a just God, but that's not a very pleasant place to be in, my hearers. Oh, if God did not give you a hope, at that particular time, you would sink away, hopeless, lost, undone in yourselves. But oh, there arises a hope by the sowing of the seed, by the precious word of God, coming unto us and revealing unto us that there is mercy for the greatest, for the chiefest, and for the vilest of sinners. Oh, have you a hope, my hearers, that entereth into this, that for you personally there is yet deliverance, there is mercy, there is pardon, and that by this God who you have sinned against? Oh, what a precious grace, likewise, is love. All love, my hearers, is something that we cannot understand. It is the love of God coming down into a sinner's soul. That makes him love God in return. We don't love God, my hearers. You believe me? If I were to ask every one of you personally, individually, do you love God? You'd say, sure to me. I bet you would. But I have to teach you, according to the word of God, that you do not love God, that we are enemies of God, that we hate God. And we reveal that even while we're sitting under the truth. But oh, when God comes down and reveals that he loves us, what a wonderful thing that is, my hearers. I wonder if any of my hearers have ever experienced that. Oh, how free, how sovereign is this love of God towards a sinner. And that sometimes to the greatest, to the blackest of sinners amongst us. And this love flows forth from God and returns back to God. Oh, my hearers, when this takes place in a person's life, when this seed starts to go down and starts to take root, oh, I can't describe everything that goes on in a person. But oh, what a change takes place. Oh, then he knows and believes for his own heart at times that God loves him. And what a wonder that is, to have a witness of it in your own heart, that God is love, and he reveals it in your own heart, that he loves you with an everlasting love. And my hearers, such a person, he longs to come under the truth. Or he longs to hear the word read. He longs to hear it explained. He cannot get enough of this precious seed of the word. And he is not a person that sits without any ears or without any heart, as so many do. But he's all ears. And his heart is so open to receive that seed of the word. Oh, when God opens a person's heart, my hearers, what a difference there is when we come up under the truth. Now, it's not always that way. It don't remain that way. But I'm speaking about when the seed begins to germinate inside and begins to yield fruit. Oh, what a change takes place then in a person's outward life, and also in his very soul. How many of my hearers have ever experienced such a change? Believe me, my hearers, that if this word, this seed, does not find a place in your heart, it's going to testify against you someday. For all that you have heard, and then God will come to you and say to you, did I not speak to you in through the medium of that sermon, in and through the medium of that servant? Did you not come regularly to church? Did you not hear the word? Did I ever reveal myself unto you as ever I would not receive you? I came to you in love. I came to you in the voice of the gospel. I came to you in my Son, pleading with you to return unto me. And ye have refused. Oh, what a day that will be when the secrets of this gospel shall be revealed before the throne, before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, I hope, my hearers, that this seed may yet enter into your heart and bear fruit. We find that it bore fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Wherever it may enter by the Spirit, it will bear fruit. And even if you can only come up to the 30-fold, my hearers, what a blessing. The Lord don't speak about anything lower than 30. There may be some that are lower than 30. But he does not mention that in this parable. But if you may have the beginnings of this divine life that I am trying to describe to you, then you are included in the 30-fold. And where the Lord may have led you a step further and revealed his dear Son Jesus in you, and has given you to rest upon him and upon his finished work, we may classify you as one that has received so much fruit as to be called 60-fold. This fruit, my hearers, does not depend upon me and you. It isn't that we can manufacture it and make it grow. We are dependent upon the influences of the Spirit. Paul may preach, Apollos may water, but God must give the increase. My fruit, Jesus says, is found from me. That fruit don't grow in nature's garden, and it don't grow in our mind, it don't grow that we have power to set it forth. But this grows by the operation Spirit of God, by the grace of God. And that soul that may be reconciled with God and find peace with God, that soul is the most humblest soul that you could meet. That soul glories in a triune God as the God of its salvation. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if we may be brought to that place in grace, that we may be able to say, this God is my God forever and ever. Behold, God is become my salvation. Then that seed, this precious word of God, has bore fruit. Yea, it has bore 100-fold in that particular person's soul. Oh, may we all, before we depart from this life, be given that this seed may also come down into our hearts and give us to bear fruit to the honor, to the glory of that great God who begins this work and carries it on and finishes it to the day of Jesus Christ. My time is gone, my hearers. Next week, we will continue about the parable of the tares and of the